Now this morning I want to look at the challenge of the disciples' faith. And when we find ourselves in the midst of different trials and difficulties, we can see what we can learn from them. Let's read Mark chapter 6, verse 45 to 56 to begin with. In the NIV, it's entitled, Jesus Walks on the Water. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethesda. While he dismissed the crowd, after leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on the land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars, because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought that he was a ghost. They cried out, because they all knew him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves, their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. And as soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats and wherever they heard he was. And whenever they went into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. Trust the Lord will bless this short passage of Scripture to us this morning. Let's just pray and ask for God's help as we look at it. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this morning, we do pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will be the one who will interpret it to us and make us understand what you want to teach us through it. Lord, we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified in our midst today. And as we come and we speak about these things, Lord, will you touch our hearts and our lives and change us into the kind of people you want us to be. Today we also want to pray for Corné, our pastor, and Becky, his dear wife. Lord, will you restore them to health quickly? We ask this in your name. And Lord, we give you thanks today for those who have been ill recently and who have been restored and are here with us today. And so we give you all praise and honor for these great blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Just before we come to this message, let me encourage you tonight to come along tonight because we have a special speaker. We've got Simon Clegg. He's always a blessing when you listen to him. And so we would urge you to maybe try and be here so that we can be an encouragement to him as well. And we look forward to that time that we will spend together with him. Right. As we have looked at this passage now, this story seems such a simple story, doesn't it? And we've heard it so many times before. But the problem is with us that familiarity with these stories often means that we miss what it is actually teaching us. But when we suddenly find ourselves in difficult situations, as did the disciples, these things can present us with great challenges to our faith. It's not the things that we plan or the things that we see that challenge our faith so much, but it is the unknown, the unexpected, which when it happens in our lives often stresses us. I knew a beautiful young lady in the prime of her life who went out with her boyfriend on one occasion. And after an evening of fun and laughter and food, on the way home, her boyfriend, I guess, had a bit too much to drink and he lost control of his car, hit a concrete pillar on a bridge. And this young lady went through the windscreen of the car and the result of the accident was that she lost both of her eyes. And this is the times when people ask and come to God and say, well, you know, how can this possibly happen? Why did it happen? And so I would say to you, in the real world, these things arise from time to time. Unexpected things like this shatter our lives. And maybe some of you here, sitting here this morning, are going through maybe some very difficult, trying times right now. Either maybe it's physical, financial, emotional, or spiritual, whatever it is. When these things come upon us, we need to learn to walk with God in the midst of these kind of circumstances. It's at moments like this that unless our faith is deeply grounded in a solid foundation in the Lord Jesus, unless we know what it means to have a focused vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I can be under tremendous assault by our enemy, the devil. And our faith may be eroded to a point of fear and often doubt. Remember when our Lord Jesus Christ lived on this earth as a man, and the time came for him to journey to the cross. He began to be sorrowful, it says in the scriptures, with a very heavy heart. We hear him under these great pressures saying, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." And so we see how even our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was depressed in this situation. The conflict and the agony, I'm sure, that he felt in his very spirit as he came to the verge of death. He felt, I'm sure, at the hour of hell, the midnight of hell was upon him. The sins of all of the world fell upon him, the immaculate soul and Son of God, with all of this hideousness of our sins upon him. Our Lord Jesus Christ went through all of this agony, all of this so that you and I might be saved. What an incredible Savior we have. And therefore he understands every type of trauma, every type of struggle that you might be going through. And so we must never allow Satan to fill our minds with doubt regarding God's love for us, because he never leaves us or forsakes us. We are precious gold to him, and he paid the price by shedding his blood for you and for me. So we are in the midst, we are his most prized possessions. If a trial does happen to come upon us, it is the means by which the value of his precious property is going to increase. God has got a purpose in changing our lives, making us more like him. I think every Christian who lives near to the Lord Jesus Christ knows something of their own sinfulness, the sinfulness of our own hearts. It is the self in our lives. It's our worldliness, our self-centeredness. And it's the fire, the furnace, that becomes the place where we are refined so that the dross may be removed from us and it all might be purged. But the refiner will not destroy us, these precious souls that he has come to purchase. He will not destroy them. He will bring out the beauty and the purity that is in them through whatever means he needs to make. We often tend to see the Lord as a resource center, telling him what we would like and what we want him to do. We want a life that's free of suffering. We want a life that's full of ease and comfort. But we forget that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And so we must think of ourselves as the bride of Christ, being prepared for the King of Kings. The bride cannot live as she once did. She must know in all her ways, she must change. She must bring credit to the throne. And it cannot happen without the suffering in this world. So let's just look at the lives of Abram and Joseph, Paul and many others, of course. They all went through some terrible suffering and difficult times. 2 Timothy tells us, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that God permits suffering to the saints only to work for him an eternal weight of glory. What a wonderful thing it is to know that God is in control of all situations. So let's look at what the disciples learned when they obeyed Jesus Christ's instruction to them. So as we look at the study in this passage this morning, we will look at 3 simple divisions. The first, we need to look at a bit of the background to this particular story. And then we look at the setting. And then after that, we will look at the experiences that the disciples went through. And finally, we will see of the great comfort and the joy that came upon them through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope this will help you and I as we walk along through this life and through the journey that we have to take in it. So that we can keep our focus on the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus has just fed these 5,000. Do you remember the story of the feeding of the 5,000? And after this, he tells his disciples that they are to go over the lake to a little village on the other side of the lake. And so Jesus went up to the mountain after this to pray. Jesus dismissed the multitude that had been before him while the disciples go and get into the boat. These men were experienced sailors. They knew the lake very well. But when they reached the middle of the lake, it says that one of those violent storms arose, which was common in that area. And they were almost swept overboard by the wind and the waves. And so they began to struggle. And they tried to row this boat, but we find that they were making no progress whatsoever. And Jesus, while at this time, was on the mountain praying for them. In a previous experience, you all know the story, in a similar storm, Jesus was in the boat with them. Their faith was tested on that occasion, but here in this time we see that Jesus is not in the boat with them, and their faith is absolutely challenged. I think the Lord in these stories is wanting us to see if these men had actually learnt anything from their first experience of being out in the storm. And the big problem for the disciples was they were in the will of God. They were obeying what Jesus had commanded them to do. After all, it was Jesus who had sent them on this journey across the lake to go to the other side. And there they were to meet him. They had an appointment with him on the other side. In most of our thinking, if we are doing what the Lord Jesus Christ is asking us to do, surely we think to ourselves, we should not run into these sort of difficulties. But this is the situation in which they find themselves. So in verse 45, first of all, we look at the guidance that they followed. Jesus commanded his disciples to go to the other side of the lake. It was the will of God, and they did what he commanded them to do. And yet in following the will of God, they found themselves in the middle of this vicious storm. And so we ask ourselves the question, why? Why was it like this? It's interesting in the text that Jesus never did actually explain to his disciples why those kind of circumstances were allowed by God to happen to them. God is under no obligation to explain to us why harsh circumstances happen to us. But we need to know that he is in control of it all. He has got a plan and a purpose behind it. Why did they need such guidance? Why did Jesus give them such a command? Well, I think the text will tell us three reasons. First of all, they needed direction. According to verse 45, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to Bethesda while he dismissed the crowd. They needed direction because of the blindness of their spiritual vision. Just before this, Jesus had told them to feed the crowd, if you remember the story, in verses 37. And they replied, send them away. And so often our way of thinking is so different to the Lord Jesus. Notice the feeding of the 5,000, what Jesus did on that occasion. Beginning in verse 32, they went away by themselves to a solitary place, and then the crowd began to gather around the Lord Jesus. In verse 35, by this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. And so we see that this is in a remote place, and it is already late. What was the disciples' reaction to the situation? As far as they were concerned, just send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and buy themselves something to eat. And Jesus is so different. What does Jesus say? Here was Jesus with this large multitude in front of him. And here were the disciples who saw the same situation, saw the same things that Jesus saw. Jesus saw this as an opportunity for God to be glorified. But to the disciples, this was a huge problem. It all depends on our vision that we have of what God can do in any situation. The disciples said, send them away. Jesus said, no, give them something to eat. And they said to him, we don't have anything apart from just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What are they among so many? But you see, with God, nothing is impossible. Jesus was teaching them that at every time, they must trust him in every way. So Jesus sent them out into the middle of the storm because they needed to learn a lesson, that the focus of their lives must not be on anything else other than him, not on their circumstances, but on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the first reason why Jesus did what he did. The second reason why he did this is, let's just look at John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 14. You see, both of these Gospels here in Mark and also in John, both of them are referring to the same incident in the life of the Lord Jesus. So in chapter 6, the thrust of this particular chapter in verse 14. It says, after the people saw the miraculous signs, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. In other words, they're saying, this is the Messiah. This is the one that we are looking for. And so Jesus knew the intentions of their hearts and that they wanted to actually make him the king. And therefore he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Jesus sent the disciples away because they needed direction, because of the blindness of their spiritual vision. But they also needed protection because of the weakness of their own faith. Remember, the 5,000 wanted Jesus to become their king so he could lead them in a revolt against the Roman government. Because they received something from Jesus, they looked at him as someone who could give them anything that their hearts may desire. And I think that is the way that many people view Jesus today, as some kind of a genie, as a resource center. What they wanted to do was to manipulate the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted to control him. But Jesus, we see, had a much bigger and a higher mission than that. His mission was not to deliver them from the Roman government at all, but to deliver them from sin and from Satan. They needed protection from the worldly mentality. They needed, we look in our text in chapter 6 of Mark, and the third reason Jesus gives them for coming, that he sent them out into the storm, was not that they only needed direction or protection, but because of the blindness of their vision. They needed protection because of the weakness of their faith. They also needed correction because of the hardness of their hearts, is what we read in the scriptures there. That's what the text says in verse 52. They had not understood the loaves because their hearts were hardened. They didn't understand what Jesus was doing. They didn't understand that Jesus could do everything that was impossible. In spite of the many miracles that they had witnessed and the great teaching that they had received from the Lord Jesus, the fact is that their hearts of these disciples had remained spiritually dull. And as I thought about it, I thought to myself, well, why is it that so often we can sit under the ministry of the Word of God Sunday after Sunday and yet continue to be spiritually dull in our own hearts and minds? Why is it that our hearts are not on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ? Why is it that we are not enthused with the gospel? Is it possible that we've lost sight today of the fact that our God is an omnipotent God? He can do anything. He can work all miracles. He is able to do everything that is impossible to do. So no matter what situation you and I may find ourselves in, God is able to be there to minister to us, to enable us to do what we can't do ourselves. Jesus wanted them to learn that they must not only trust him and follow him, even if it appeared that they might lose their lives as a result of it. They needed direction, protection, and correction, because of the influence of the crowd and the world that they were associated with. Now we look at the circumstances that they faced at this particular time. Not only did they need guidance as they followed the Lord Jesus Christ when he sent them out, but the circumstances that they faced, they set out in obedience, as we've seen, to the word of Jesus. They were in the will of God, yet this great storm arose and came upon them while they were in the will of God. And they were faced with severe difficulty. I wonder if they began at that particular time to question among themselves as the storm and the wind came upon them so suddenly, totally unexpectedly, and they were alone. Jesus was not with them on this particular occasion, and it seemed that they were left totally helpless. How quickly our circumstances change. Telephone rings, and we hear the news that our loved one has been taken from us. Or we read the scriptures, we read of Joseph, that young 17-year-old son. We find because of the envy of his brothers, in one day he went from being a son to being a slave. How quickly circumstances change. We read of the three Hebrews men that William read to us this morning, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, invited to attend a party. And because they refused to bow down to the edict of the pagan king, what happened? The party became their execution sentence. Think of the Apostle Paul, having placed his foot on the soil of Asia Minor. He delivers a young girl from demon possession and, rejoicing in what God has done in her life and changed her life, he finds himself thrown into prison. And the reason being that he had taken the business away from the men who had controlled her. And so they were losing out financially. And so it's not whether or not circumstances change, because they do. But the question is, what does it do to our faith, to your faith, to mine? Let's think of it like this. Is our peace and our faith determined by our circumstances? Or is it determined by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is above all of our circumstances? When our circumstances are favorable, we always feel good. We feel as if we're on top of the world. When things go wrong, we feel as if God has abandoned us. But the Christian can be joyous even in the middle of unhappy circumstances, because joy is the fruit of the Spirit. When we have the love of the Lord and the joy of the Lord in our hearts, we can overcome all of these things because Christ is with us. Violent storms are no indication that we are out of the will of God. There are times God may bring violent storms when we are out of God's will. Jonah is one of those examples in the Scriptures. Jonah finds himself in the middle of a storm. But in our text this morning, these men are in the will of God. Jonah, as we see, was out of the will of God. So storms are no indication that we are out of God's will. There may be, but it could not be the case in this text that we're looking at. But we see something happen when we find ourselves in this situation that is absolutely devastating, such as these disciples found themselves in. They were working hard, rowing, verse 48 says in chapter 6, he saw the disciples straining at the oars. They were putting everything into what they were doing. They were working as hard as they possibly could, but they were making no progress whatsoever against the wind. And in a situation like that, how easily it is that we become discouraged when we realize that we are making such little progress. Remember, it was their responsibility to make sure that the boat was headed in the right direction so that they could reach the other shore, that they could meet their appointment with the Lord Jesus Christ. But they were straining at the oars, and they worked all night through with little progress. So many of our experiences are like that, in many different ways, aren't they? You may be trying with all your effort to be the best kind of Christian that you possibly can be. And yet when we look at our lives and we look at our track record, we probably, like the disciples, cry out, oh Lord, you know, I row my boat as hard as I can possibly row it, but it seems that I make no real progress. We don't seem to learn the lessons. We have to be taught them over and over again. We are so forgetful of these things. We hear of others giving their testimonies, how God has worked in their lives. And yet we wonder as we look at our own hearts and we say, you know, I can't imagine that there's any barrier between me and God. I can't think of anything that I might have done. And so we look at these type of things in that kind of light. But look at the third thing here. The sustained pressure. The violent winds kept blowing. There was no let up. And often it seems like that in life. It becomes the darkest part of the night. The disciples thought it would never end. It was never going to work out. They were never going to make it. They were exhausted from the day, and now they worked throughout the night before relief came. Just before dawn, in the darkest part of the night, sometimes we cry out to the Lord and there's no end in sight to the circumstances that we are facing. And yet, we see from chapter 6 the guidance that the disciples followed, the circumstances that they faced, and the third thing is the assurance that they found in the Lord Jesus. It's interesting that in all of their distress, they couldn't see Jesus. He wasn't with them on this occasion. He was up on the mountain. And when we are in difficult circumstances, it's difficult to see Jesus at times, simply because our attention is not on him, it's on our circumstances. We look at our problems, we look at our heartache, we look at the bleeding of our souls. They couldn't see Jesus, but Jesus could see them. You might not understand at this point what is happening in your life, but you know that God understands. God sees all of these things. The problem, your problem and mine, God understands, and he always has good in his mind for us. He has the good intention at all times. So many of us stumble over the meaning of that word good. It's interesting that in their experience, that took place in Mark chapter 4, verse 25 to 41, when Jesus was with them in the boat. It was for their good. They didn't understand it at the time, but now, in this account, He is apart from them, and yet God is fully aware of what is happening in their lives. Suddenly, Jesus comes to them walking on the water. You can imagine their experience and the shock to them. The disciples see him, and they've already been conditioned by a sense of panic that was taken hold of them. And so they cry out, they thought they had seen a ghost. Couldn't believe it, that it was really the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think sometimes when God does miracles in our own lives, we are shocked because we didn't expect it to happen. Jesus seems to be passing by them in order to challenge their faith. Walked past as if he wasn't going to come to them. And then when they cried out to him, what does he do? He stepped into the boat with them. And that's what he does with us so often. When we think it's not going to work, things are not working out, then suddenly Jesus Christ comes to the fore and he helps us in our situation. And so verse 50 says that all saw him and were terrified. It happened the previous time, didn't it? When he stilled the waves and calmed the sea. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And so for whatever you might be going through, you can take courage this morning because God is with you in whatever circumstances you find yourself in. There will be times when circumstances come into your life and mine which rocks us to the very foundation of our being. And it causes us all kinds of stress, doesn't it? But in these times, we must never forget the will of God. Whatever the circumstances might be, the will of God is always the safest place to be. Regardless of the storms, the will of God is the safe place to be. Jesus had told them to go to the other side, and he would meet them there. And because Jesus had told them to go to the other side, nothing in this world, we see, could prevent them from meeting that appointment with him and that final destination. Jesus had promised he will meet you and he will meet I on the other side. And friends, if you're a Christian today, you can be sure that if you really love the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing in this world that will ever prevent you meeting him on the other side. That was God's promise to them, and it's the promise that he gives to us. No storm, no boat, no wind could ever keep them from that divine place and that divine appointment. The will of God is always the place of greatest safety. Whatever happens, you will see, he will see you safely to the other side. Jesus came to them in the hour of need, walking on the water. He would walk by them to test their faith. And then they cried out to Jesus, and he came just at the right time. God always comes at the right time. He's never late. He's never early. It's always the right time. And so the third thing that we learn from this particular story is that the will of God is always right. It's always the place to be. God will always come through for us. Jesus conquered their fears. He stilled their panic. He assured their hearts. He gave them peace and courage to carry on. And so we can be of good cheer. That's what he said. But they cried out, "Lord, the storm is about to swamp us." And Jesus says, "Don't be afraid." And maybe today you feel that the storm is about to swamp you. But I can say to you, because of what God says, that you needn't be afraid. He not only conquered the fear of the disciples, he conquered the fury of the storm. The peace Jesus brought is the peace that only God can bring to a person's heart and to a person's life. Jesus changed their circumstances from that of danger to of absolute delight. The challenging of our faith is there to teach us to trust in Jesus, to put our faith in him, our confidence in him, not when the sun shines, but also when the storms break. Jesus is teaching us that he is to be the focus of our hearts. It's not the storm that gives us the problems, but the response that we have to those storms. We can't control circumstances, but we can control our response to those circumstances. And so I pray tonight that God, as we speak, that he will speak to us through his word and show us the way that we are to go. He's the way. His peace and his joy is what is available to us in Christ. Let's just spend this moment in prayer and ask him to help us in our walk with the Lord day by day. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, how we thank you that you are acquainted with all of our ways. And you are already into all of the tomorrows before we get there. Will you go with us each step of the way? Will you guide us in the days that lie ahead? And help us, Lord, not to fear all the things that are around us, but to look to you, knowing that you are in control of everything. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name, asking that you would give us peace. We pray in your name. Amen.